Okay, so we're a little bit in the middle. Today's will be a little bit of a continuation of we were dealing with the whole engagement ring situation, and really just the question that came up with Amira of how do we know what's going on inside people's heads, right? That was really one of like the big issues that some of the Rishonim brought up, which in terms of the Amira Sugya was really very secondary, but it just opens up this like fascinating Pandora's box of how do you actually know what's going on in people's heads ever, right? So we actually kind of started backwards, and we started from engagement rings last year. And our question was, well, you know, guy gets down on one knee and he says, will you marry me? And he gives her a ring. Like, why aren't you married, right? Isn't that Kiddushin, right? Isn't that like, you know, match all the features of what standard Kiddushin is? So we came, you know, some very interesting options of how to sort of dodge that bullet came up last year, right? We saw that the psak din of that Bezdin and Ashkelon, you know, where they're like, well, you know, even though we don't follow umdinas, maybe we follow umdinas that have sort of like objective evidence to back them up, right? Rav Asher Weiss wanted to kind of like not really an umdina is like an evaluation of what's going on, right? But it's like you're coming in and you're like judging the situation, right? There are things that don't involve a judgment call, right? You see what's going on. It's clear from the actions and from the situation of what's going on. You don't need to like make a judgment call about what's going on. Right? There's one thing to say, oh, it's a very, very, you know, good judgment call, right? The jury is, you know, deciding beyond a shadow of a doubt that XYZ is what happened. And you have the people who actually saw it happening, right? They're not judging that XYZ happened, right? They saw it. They experienced it. And he was basically saying that like sometimes, right, if you see Ben and it's clearly like a joke or it's clearly not Kiddushin, you go to a play, right, and Romeo proposes to Juliet, the actors are not actually trying to Mekadesh each other. Right, so I was like, you know, we're not evaluating what's going on in their head. We just know what's going on and it's not Kiddushin. So that's what they were kind of arguing was going on by an engagement, right? We know he's trying to get engaged and not do Kiddushin because he's getting engaged, right? And then other, you know, shittos who are not as comfortable making that sort of statement were saying, oh, well, you know, we can tell from the fact that it's an engagement ring and has a diamond and that's against like, you know, halacha is that you dafka use a plain ring for a wedding ring. So like, we know that and they're not doing a chuppah and we know that, you know, the minhag is dafka to do chuppah and Kiddushin together and all those sorts of things that give us sort of objective, signposts that say, oh, you know, here's what's going on. Here's what they're thinking. So really just wanted to know, like, how do we do that? How do we know what's going on in their heads in the opposite direction? When they are doing Kiddushin, how do we know that they really mean it, right? Which you never really know what's going on in people's heads. Right? I think that's actually been very, very relevant in, like, recent current events, is that you just, like, you know, every person has their own little world going on inside of their head. And you don't necessarily have any idea like why things make sense to other people or how they see the world or what their vision of reality is. It's actually really amazing that most people, you know, can get together and like have some sort of general common denominator of what we understand is going on and, you know, certain actions mean, etc. So how do we evaluate that, right? It's just a really big problem because in order to say that people actually are married, we need to know that they really meant it. And in order to say that they're definitely not, we need to know that they definitely didn't. So how do we evaluate that? So one just interesting case that comes up in the Gemara, ends up in the Shulchan Aruch also, is they have this sort of interesting back and forth. Hu gavra, dahavaka mazbin chumri schaita. It's like some sort of metal that you sell in like little, they used to sell in like little ingots. Asai hahu, it's that they're on like a string. Amrala, havli chaz shucha. Give me like one string of whatever metal it is. Amrala, iyahivna lech mikadesh li. Like if I give you, you know, a string of I don't know, whatever metal this is, will you marry me? Amrala, hava miyava. You know, give it here. Like give it over already. So Amrav Chama, kol hava miyava lav klum. Okay. So Rav Chama says, right? Someone says, you know, give it here or give it already, you know, And the implication is, stop messing around with me. Like, leave me alone and just give it to me. Right? Hugavra, the Hava Kashasi Chamra Bechanusa, he was drinking wine in a store. Asai Hahi Itza, someone came over. Amrale, Havli Chad Kasa, you know, give me a cup of wine. Amrala, Yehimralech Mitkadesh, right? If I give it to you, will you marry me? Amrale, Ashkuya Yashkan, you know, give me the drink already. Amrav Chama, Kol Ashkuya Yashkan, Lav Klumhu, right? Same idea, right? Anytime the, it's sort of said in like, you know, combative tone of like, just give it to me already. Stop bothering me. Right? Clearly implies that she doesn't want to accept it as kiddushin. Who gavra da kava kashadi tamri midek? Like he's knocking dates off a palm tree. Asai hi itza amrele shadi li tarti amrela yishadina lach mikachali amrele shadi mishta amrav zvid kol shadi mishta lav klumu. Okay. Ibai lehu. Have ashki vishadi mahu. Amaravina Mikudashas. Let's say she said only have, give it to me, or give me a drink, or give me one. Okay? He says, okay, it's interesting, right? She said, give me, can I please have a cup of wine? And he says, if I give you a cup of wine, will you marry me? And she says, please give me a cup of wine. Right? She doesn't say, give me a cup of wine already and stop messing with me. Right? She says, please give me a cup of wine. So is she accepting, right, his terms? You know, is she saying like, okay, she agreeing or not, right? Or is she saying, please give me a cup of wine, right? And I'm ignoring the fact that you just said, you asked me if I'll marry you. So Amar Avina Mikudesh, by the way, just the difference is then in Hebrew, right? Hava Mihava, and when you say double, right, it's like, it's much more aggressive formulation, okay? Hava miava means give it to me already, right? Just give it to me already. Have just is, you know, give it to me, right? So Amar Avina Mikudeshas, Rav Sama Barek, Amar Tagad Malcha, right? Keter Malcha, Lashon Shvua, you know, by the king's crown, Ina Mikudeshas, V'Hilchaza, Ina Mikudeshas. Okay, so, right, what's going on here is that on the one hand, he said, right, he asked her if she'll marry him, and she accepted whatever, you know, him giving her whatever it is. On the other hand, who set the terms here? Right, she said, please give it to me. He said, will you marry me? She said, please give it to me. Right, so how do we evaluate this? Right, okay, so the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, right, case, how you learn, okay, blah, 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 blah. Amar lo tein li ma'at me'ilu, and he says, oh, if I do it, will you marry me? If she says hein, v'natna la harizim kudeshes, right? If he says, will you marry me? She says, yes, then great. Im amar lo tein li mehem, o hashleich li, o dvarim she'inyanam lo tisacheki mi bedvarim elu, ela tein li bovad, v'natna la inim kudeshes. Right? So he paskins that if she just says, give it to me, right, and she just reiterates her original request, then we can infer that she's saying, you know, I want you to give it to me. I don't want to marry you, right? Because she's ignoring that request. Says Arma, Vim Amar La Bishashu Nosin La. Ah, okay. Let's throw in a wrinkle here. Harea Mikudeshesli Vikibla Mikudeshes. Let's say when he's actually giving it to her, he says Harea Mikudeshesli, and he gives it to her, and she accepts it, right? So on the one hand, she's definitely set the frame things in terms of please give me a cup of wine or please give me a date and that's it and no more, right? But now that he's giving it and saying Harei Mikudeshesli, from the fact that she's accepting it, can we infer from that, or does that change the setting such that her acceptance is an acceptance of it b'toras kiddushin? Because he's actually saying I'm giving it b'toras kiddushin, right? V'im kibla b'shtika, Rak chazra va'amra tainli o hashleich v'kayotzib zeh inu mekudeshes. Right? Okay, so if she accepts it quietly, it's mekudeshes, says the Rosh, right? But let's say she were to say again, let's say she says, harei mekudeshli be, you know, kos yayin zu. And she says, just give it to me. Right? So now she's, once again, right, referencing back to her original request, which has nothing to do with kiddushin. V'chol zeh b'tchila hi behetchila hi lomar tein limat. Avalim hitchil huledaber imetin lach titkadishli. Va'amrelo b'lashon tzchok hein v'kibla mimenu havesafek kiddushin. Ah, says the Ran, if she started it, so then, right, the sort of like our playing field is such that the assumption is that there's no kiddushin, right? And then he has to like introduce that into the conversation, right? He has to change track in the conversation. So the continuation of their interaction is not necessarily presumed, right, to be one of kiddushin. But if he started it, if he goes up to her and says, right, he offers her a cup of wine and says, I'll give you a cup of wine. If I give you, a cup of wine, will you marry me? Right. And if she says, oh, hein, yeah, yeah, sure. Right. Even a sarcastic voice, says the Ran, then it's suffic kiddushin. Right. I would do the sarcastic, right? The sarcastic tone of voice doesn't, once, or in the other cases where she started asking for it, stam. So the sarcastic voice, right, clearly tells us that there's no intent for kiddushin. But if he starts it, right, then the sarcastic voice says, is not good enough to get you out of the possibility of it being kiddushin. Right? She says yes. She said in a sarcastic tone of voice, but he proposed kiddushin and she said yes and accepted it. Okay, so it's back to the Mechaber. Okay, that's really just the same case again. Okay, so we have three cases, okay? She starts it, right? Asking for something totally innocuous. He asks, will you marry me if I give it to you? Okay, that's case number one. And then we have different variations of, on that. Same case, right? She starts it, she asks him, and he says, will you marry me? She says, taim, just give it to me already. And then he says, harei mekudeshesli, and then she accepts it. And then third case is where he starts it, and he's the one who starts the whole interaction. Oh, yes, sorry. Alex is correct. It should be Mimenu. Grammar. Apologies. Let me just fix that, actually. Wait, where am I? Hold on. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, she asks from him, in case where he starts it, right, it just sort of frames things differently. Okay, so if she says yes, right, in the case where she asks him for the cup of wine, right, and he asks, will you marry me? If she says yes, great, they're married, right? That's easy. If she uses sarcasm, right, or the stop messing with me voice, then not mekudeshes, right? That's also makes a lot of sense to us. Okay, now here's the question. Let's say she accepts it, b'shtika. Right? The Gemara said, if you use a sarcastic voice, not married. If she accepts it, obviously, then she is married. Let's say she just accepts it quietly. She never explicitly accepts or explicitly rejects it. Okay? So, the Beis Yosef says, Lama hitzrich shetomar hein. Why do we need her to say yes? Afilu shaska v'kibla mashma nami d'mikudeshes. V'cheinir mimasha kasav rabinu b'samach b'shem harash. U'mimasha echtav b'shem haramban. U'mil v'fi masha echtav b'shem harash ba'asi shapir. This is actually according to Rashba. The Rashba doesn't seem like he's going to agree with me. We'll get to the Rashba soon. But according to, let's say, this Rash, and their man, I'm going to quote on a different case, it seems like if she's quiet, she does shtika and accepts it, then they should be married. Because he said, will you marry me? And shtika is generally considered kehoda. Okay, the Chalkas Mechogek says, what are you talking about? Now, why yes, why no?
Well, she's quiet, so you're not really sure what she's thinking.
Right. Okay, but why not? Why don't we say, oh, she took Kahoda, right?
Because she asked, or this is within the scenario where she initially asked for something, nothing to do with fusion.
Exactly. Very good. And therefore?
She's working with a certain assumptions, I guess. And she's only responding to one part, and not the other.
Right. Right. She framed the conversation. So she framed the conversation. That's number one. So then why should her shtika be assumed to be an acceptance of, right, his addendum onto the conversation, right? In terms of, the, you know, who has the reins of the conversation, she does. She started it. She, right, never framed it. It's a conversation that whose goal is give me a cup of wine or give me a, you know, a date or, you know, hand me one of those. So once that's the framing of the conversation, right, her shtika, right, doesn't have to be understood as, right, agreeing to their interaction or, right, being a willing participant in this interaction, because the interaction is one of give me a cup of wine, nothing to do with kiddushin. Right, that's problem number one. Number two, and is also interesting, is that what did he say?
Well, this is within the when he's saying it the second time as he's giving it.
Before he doesn't say anything the second time. Second time is going to be a different question. He just says, she says, you know, give me one of those. He says, we're just dealing with the case where she asks him and he says, oh, if I give it to you, will you marry me? And then he gives it to her.
And she doesn't respond. Okay.
If he says again, Harei Mikudesh Esli, right, then we have a much better argument that says, you know, shtika is going to work. Again, you could argue not, because since at the end of the day, the framing of the conversation, right, was about whatever, you know, she's asking for and not anything to do with Kiddushin, so maybe not. But if at least he said Harei Mikudesh Esli. But here, he never even said Harei Mikudesh Esli. He never said, I am going to marry you with this object, right? He just asked if she would agree, right? If I give it to you, will you marry me? Right? It's always been, it's been framed as a question, right? Not as a request. Okay? In which case, right, the argument that, oh, shtika kehoda works a lot better when, right, there's an actual request and you're quiet in face of that request, right? And you accept whatever they're giving you. But here, right, there's never actually a direct request. So the Chalkos Mechokek argues on the Beis Yosef. He says, "Im amrahein v'nas nala, im shatka lo mahani, v'lo amrina d'shtuka mahani, rak ba'amar la pam shenis, b'shas nesina harei amikudeshesli v'kibla b'shtika. Aval im shalosa im etein lach ti amikudeshes, v'hi shaska v'kibla, in ze kehoda." Right? D'ha'hu lo amar rak derech she'ila. There's really two separate points he's making, right? The first point he's saying is, He's saying that because he only asked, he never asserted, right? He never requested. So you can never say shtika kehoda because there's nothing to be moded to, right? He never actually requested harei amikudeshesli. He just asked her if she would. V'hishaska v'samcha al dvareha rishonim. This is a little bit of a different point. Right, she's somech on dvareha harishonim she'amra tainli below kiddushin. Right, and the whole framing of this conversation is what is has nothing to do with kiddushin. So why should there be shtika kehoda? Okay, now what's interesting is that the concept of shtika kehoda is well known to us, right? But how do you apply it in this case? It's very hard. It's very hard to know. Also, what do you think? Like, I don't know. What would you think? In terms of, a real case. Imagine such a case, right? You're talking about something different. She asks for something. He says, oh, you know, if I give it to you, will you marry me? And then she accepts it from him, right? I'm personally inclined to think that, no, she's just like in the koch to tell him, like, you're an idiot, right? But on the other hand, like, that's not the sort of thing that you necessarily would sort of ignore and be like, oh, I'm just going to ignore the fact that he said he wants to give it to me, b'taras kiddushin, right? in which case, it's unlikely that they're ignoring it. So maybe we can apply Shtika Kahoda. Okay, so just a very interesting problem of just like, how do we say, oh, we know what they're thinking? Okay, that's just one, building on our last year. It's more of just another case of how this issue, comes up, and how do we apply these rules? Less lamdos, but just interesting that how halacha lamaisa it actually just really is a big conundrum. So Chalukas Mechulkes says shtika of course doesn't work, and the Beis Yosef says it definitely does. Yeah, Jordy.
Oh, Victor, can I ask a quick question? Yeah. Sure. On that last Chalukas Mechulkes that we just read, so it seems like it's just one reason, and the two points are working together to, like, we're saying that silence in itself, we don't know what it would mean, but because the conversation was framed with her just wanting something, then her silence would imply that she's just sticking with that. Isn't like if the conversation was, let's say, framed by him and he started the conversation by saying, will you marry me? And then she was silent. Then it wouldn't be as easy to say that her silence would mean that she's not agreeing to Kiddushin.
Then we'd assume that her silence is agreeing, right? That shtika would be kahuda. Right here, though, he's saying two things, right? One is she's so meches al dvareha rishonim. But number two, or really number one in order, right? He's saying imshalosa, right? Here it's Amar la imshalosa, right? Dishatzka ein zekehoda dahahu lo amar rak derech sheila. He's saying really two things. One is it's derech sheila. He asked her. He never said, right? If I ask you a question, right, and then you ignore the question, doesn't mean that you agree one way or the other. It's almost like Bismanenu, if you were to say something, let's say racist, right? So there's like sort of like if you are, in somewhere and someone says something racist or, and you don't say anything, you don't object, so you're, you have guilt by association, right? Mm-hmm. If someone doesn't say it, someone, says something like asks a question, which, someone could answer one way or the other, right? And you sort of ignore it. So then, the potential's there, but no one actually said it, or it was maybe potentially implied, but not made explicit. So then, right, you're not necessarily obligated to, stake a claim and make a point. Right? Okay. I think the same here and here. Then he said, "Derech Sheila." Shtika Kehoda doesn't apply to things that are asked, right? Shtika Kehoda applies to things that are asserted, right? And you've accepted through by being silent.
Right? Okay, gotcha.
The other thing he says, v'samcha al dvareha harishonim, which is what? Is that she framed this whole conversation in the first place. There's really two separate reasons why, or potentially two different reasons why shtika kahoda could not apply.
Okay. Right?
Now, what's important is like this. Let's say, right, I can split it. I could give you a nafkamina of a case where you have one without the other. Okay? Let's say he were to actually say haret mikudeshesli when he gives her whatever it is he's giving her. What would apply and what wouldn't apply?
So then you still have the fact that she framed the conversation like just wanting something, but at the end of the day, it's not a question, it's a statement, and she's silent.
Exactly.
In response. So then it would be a suffix, or then it would, then he would say that.
So well, I don't know. Right. So we'll have to check that case. We'll deal with that case directly. But that exactly, I think, is the issue there, right? Because suddenly you can pull out one of these factors, but the other is still in play. Okay. So, right. So the Chalukas Machlokes again, the Beis Yosef here argue. So let's do that, right? Let's say he says, Harei Mikudash Esli. So now it's no longer a question, right? Im Amar La Bishashu Nosen La Harei Mikudash Esli, Vikibla Mikudash Es. Right? If he actually says Harei Mikudash Esli when he's giving it to her, so then maybe, right? Then the Dharma thinks that she's Mikudash Es because he said, marry me. He gave it to her. She accepted it, right? Then we can apply that. If, however, she said, Chazra va'amra tainli in a mikudashes. But let's say she turns, she responds, give it to me, right? Then in a mikudashes. Okay. And that's, right again, a little bit tricky. Why? right? So I think the answer is she didn't do she didn't really do shtika koda, even though she never explicitly rejected his statement. But what did she do by saying tainly?
She like reframed the conversation back to what she was originally asking.
Exactly, right? By saying tainly, right, sort of she retook control of the conversation and brought it back to her original request. So she said, give it to me, stop. Then he says, you know, will you marry me? And then he gives it to her and says, I read Mekudeshesli, right? And she says, tamely, right? And takes it. So in Mekudeshes, because even though Shtika Kahoda wise, right, he did assert it, not ask it, right? He requested it. He didn't, you know, he didn't query about it. So the, in terms of the second point of like, oh, it's just a question. It wasn't actually a request. It's not applicable anymore. But by saying tainly, right, she's brought it back to the original, right, the original phraseology. I think she's just asking for it as a gift. I think if it actually, right, if it actually belonged to her or she had some sort of rights to it, then it would be much, much, we'd have a much lower bar, much higher bar, sorry, of trying to say that she's actually accepting the Kiddushin, right?
I'm just thinking that Tain Li, if it's his and she's asking for a gift and then he gives the condition and she says, give it. And here he's not saying Tain Tain. You said Tain Li is more of sort of the more relaxed, going with the flow kind of approach. Then that, I guess it's just how you hear the words, but that sounds a little bit more like she's agreeing.
Yeah, I think that's a very good good point. I think you definitely could say, well, once he, you know, once he said it mekudeshesli, so then she needs to be really explicit in order to counter that. Especially if she doesn't have any prior rights to it. I think it's a very good good point. I think we actually have the Ran here who really goes in that direction. I think the Ran really, you know, accepts Alex's point. Yeah, I'll just give it the context. Like the Rush said, Imam Rabashas, Shinatsala Harayat Mikudashis Libekibla Mikudashis. Okay. And the way at least Shochanak seems to stand the Rush is, you know, if she said if she's the shtika Mikudashis, right? If she somehow reiterates the just give it to me in Mikudashis. Okay. Imshaska, right? Vade Mikudashas, but if she says any of these Lashonos, in Mikudashas. Okay? Because that basically, I think the best argument to understand that is that it's Choser, you know, back to the original framing of the conversation, and you just can't apply Shtika Koda. Right? The Ran says, Kasa Ikamandamar, the time of the Inimikudashas, Mishum da Adibura Kama Samcha, the Amrle Meikara have Shalola Shem Kiddushin. About E. Amar like ihu meikara. Let's say he framed it, or we're going to skip that for a second. Or v'chein nami afilu hecha da amra ihi meikara have im chazer va'amar la b'shas nesinas his gadshelibo v'ihi amra have ohave mihava mikudeshes. Even if she says in the sarcastic language, she's still mikudeshes because at the end of the day, he said harei mikudeshesli. He gave it to her and she accepted it. Right. So the Ran's approach is just at the end of the day, you know, it really depends on, you know, on how he phrases, how he formulates, how he frames the actual netina. Oh yeah, very good. Very good, Jordy. Right? He's saying basically, you know, it's when he gives it to her is what really, really matters. He gave it to her Bitoras Kiddushin and she accepted it. And I think that's a very good way to formulate it, is that, you know, are we going to like say, oh, we're trying to figure out their dad and we want to know what's going on in their head exactly. And therefore, you know, we have to sort of look at the whole conversation. Or, right, and I think this is kind of what Ron's saying, what Alex is saying, and I like Jordy's formulation in the comments, which is what really matters maybe is just the Shas Nesina, right? Really, maybe we can't really say, oh, you know, we're going to try to piece everything together. Right, he gave it to her. He said, "Arei mikudeshesli." She accepted it. Right, so he gave it to her b'toras kiddushin, and she accepted it. Right, she might have, you know, I don't know. There might be other, I don't know, his back history, right? But you can't just say, "Oh, anytime you know you have kiddushin," like, "Oh, we have to like look back at like you know all every interaction they've had you know, since kindergarten, right? So maybe not only are we not going to go back to kindergarten, maybe we won't even go back to the beginning of the conversation, and we'll just look at and say, well, you know, what are they doing right now? What happened to Shas and Sina? I think very much that seems to be what the Ran is suggesting. Okay, now, then remember from the engagement ring discussion. So I think that dovetails very nicely with the Aruch HaShulchan. Remember, the Aruch HaShulchan said that, you know, because Kiddushin is not something private, right? It's something that you do vis-a-vis the community, right? You're getting married, and marriage isn't just something that's personal. It's something about establishing your relationship as, you know, vis-a-vis the community. It's Osar Kulei Alma Kehekdesh. So you're doing something to Kulei Alma. You're doing something to society. In which case, the metrics that we use need to be ones that are visible and meaningful to society. In which case, right, the das that matters is the das that you express, right? What das do we care about? And, you know, Terry Pratchett has this like thing about thoughts. And he's like, oh, you have first thoughts, and then you have second thoughts, and then you have third thoughts, and then you have fourth thoughts, and like, you know, can keep going, right? You think something, and then you think like, oh, do I really think that? You know, and then you think like, well, you know, and then you start being a palpable in your head. And then you have like another voice in your head who like critiques, you know, your critique of your critique of your original thoughts, right? You have that like, you know, you have that sort of like third party view of the whole situation who's sort of like analyzing everything on a meta level. So which one counts as your real das, right? Your first thought is like, oh, I want to. Or like you see a cookie, right? And you're like, I want to eat that cookie. But then you think, but I probably shouldn't eat that cookie, you know, because I already had three, right? And then, you know, and then your stomach rumbles, and then like, you know, you start like washing dishes, and then 5 minutes later you realize you ate the cookie like after you finished washing dishes, right? Which one counts as your real das? Going back like to a sigya from a long time ago, a few years ago in Gittin, about like being kofin also at Shiyoma Rotsani to give a get. So one of the issues there is like, what type of das do we need? Or even earlier this year, right, about Kiddushin Bal Karcha, what das counts, right? When someone says yes, so on some level, right, they're agreeing. Are they're really agreeing? They don't want to, but they agreed to it, right? Or when you have some sort of situation in life which you don't really want to do, but you agree to do it because you understand that there are other factors that, even though you don't want to do it, you got to do it, or you ought to do it, right? So which one of those counts as like das or as ratzon, right? And let's say she wants to get married, right? But she's hesitant to commit. And she accepts it, but she never, you know, or she doesn't really want to get married, but she accepts it because she's like, oh, this is probably the smartest thing to do, right? Or you know, whatever. What type of das do you need, right? There are always like different layers in your head that even when you agree to do something and you want to do something, you might still like have a little part of you that regrets it. So it's very hard to, you know, sort of pin down and say, oh, like, okay, yes, all of your das or all of your heart or all of your mind or all of your emotions were on board or not on board. So then maybe we'll say, okay, the das that matters is the level of das that is expressed, right? And I think that's also in general, there's something about that, that the thoughts that like flit through our head, right, are very different than the thoughts that actually lead to action, right? Or that are manifest in action. So the thought, oh, I want that cookie, is far less significant of a thought or less defining a thought than the decision, you know, reflected by an action that put the cookie box back in the fridge, right? So here too, we can say, you know, maybe what really matters is the thoughts that are wrapped up in action. And then we're going to say, well, whatever you actually did, right, that what matters is what's visible, klapei chutz, what you put into action, what you expressed to out klapei chutz to the rest of the world. And then maybe we'll have to zero in on Shas and Sina. It was given b'toras kiddushin, and you accepted it. You took it. You know, maybe that's all you need to do. Okay. Alternatively, we can say no, right? We really want, you know, the whole thing is like marriage is all about relationships, in which case, of course, what we really need is we need you to be emotionally on board as well. In which case, we might say, no, we need things that indicate that deep down, right, you're emotionally on board with this as well. And think, maybe, right? Aval harajba sover, da afilu lo amra ihi me karamidi, kivan di'i amar la balashon she'ila, iyahivna lach mikajali, vi'ihi lo ahajalein. He asked her a question, will you marry me? And she never said yes, right? Lo hi ahajalein mikajna lach, I will marry you. Ela amar lahav, ohave mihava, afilu chazav amar lahareinu kudeshesli beze lo mahani. Says the Rajba, even if he says hareinu kudeshesli, right? And their shtika, it's still not going to work. Right? The ikar time of the inu mikudeshes, hainu mishum dikivan de belashon she'ila kamarla, im isa de isratia, hava lela hadure in mikachalach. If a man comes to a woman and says, will you marry me? And she never says yes, explicitly, right? Then she doesn't want to marry him. Or she might want to, but that doesn't count, right? That doesn't matter. Right? Midaloma hadra hachi ela amra have miava vade hachi kamra mikidushe lo michali el matan al figachim chazer vamaret kachali inim kudashas. Right? It's just not going to work. Because at the end of the day, if he asks her, will you marry me? And she never says yes. So she never said yes. And we have no reason to believe that she thinks yes. And we have no proof to that. Okay. So we have. This is by the and the Rosh. So if he says Harei Mikudeshesli at the end, so the Ramban says it just depends on right how she responds. If she does Shtika, so Shtika Kohoda, because he framed it as Kiddushin. If she says Tain, right, so then she's being sarcastic, right, and then Ein Mikudeshes, because she's made it clear what she thinks. The Yeshomim in the Ran say, since he gave it Betoras Kiddushin, right, even if she says Tain in a sarcastic voice, Alex says, and Jordy says, well, yeah, but, right, he gave it Betoras Kiddushin, B'shas Nesina is Betoras Kiddushin, so, you know, your tone of voice is not sufficient to undermine the fact that you accepted Kiddushin, right, intentionally. The Rush, though, says, you know, totally the opposite. He says, no. Once it starts as a question, right, once it's not absolute, then it just doesn't work, right? She never accepted. We need her to explicitly accept. Now, if he says, he goes up to her and says, will you marry me? I want you to marry me. And she accepts. You would say that shtika kohoda in that context, right, is a clear, explicit acceptance, right? But since he started as a question and she never said yes, right? So there's this massive question mark. Well, if she really wanted to marry him, right, if she accepts it, and it's clear that she's, you know, at a wedding. You go to a wedding, right, and, you know, he says, and she's so overwhelmed, and she, you know, accepts the ring, and she never actually said yes. Okay, right, I don't think that's like a chisaron, right, in her expressing her das. She accepted it, right? You know, she's smiling. There's a photographer. What more can you ask for, right? But if he asks it as a question, if, like, a guy gets down on one knee and proposes, and she doesn't say yes, right? So then you don't start planning the wedding, right? They might continue dating, you know, and it'll be awkward. Hopefully he didn't do it like very publicly, you know, or now they realize, like, you know, they should probably start dating other people. But at the end of the day, if he asks and she never says yes, right, and it's a question, so then there's no basis to say they're definitely married. Now, one thing that I think is also actually kind of nice, the Rajba Lishitaso, I think, thinks that part of the definition of the Kiddushin, right, is that the Edim, that you've expressed your Das to the Edim. Right? If you remember in the Amira Sugya, the Rajba is the one who said that a big part of the problem is that since he never verbally expressed his Das, so even though we can more or less tell what his das is, Jordy might have done this morning, right? So the Rajba said what? Although
I know a lot of things, so it's exciting when I do.
Right? Yeah. What does the Rajba say?
Oh,
So,
are you asking?
Yeah, I'm asking.
Oh. You mean here or for Amira?
By Amira.
Oh.
It's like a pop quiz.
No, I just lost my train of thought. Wait.
And the Raj was talking about Beirut.
Oh, right. That I think this is a Rashba, that if the man doesn't explicitly like initiate the conversation, then the Edim aren't really kosher Edim, like Ede Kiyum, because they haven't been like assigned to this Kedushin kind of thing.
And also, and part of the Rashba says there at the end, like, oh, because the Edim, right, have never like been explicitly, you know, like entrusted like with, you know, with his das, because he's never explicitly said that he wants, you know, them to witness his intent to marry, right? It's like an interesting Rashba there. But if the Rashba really sees the intent, not, it's not just like, oh, you need to know that they want to get married, because otherwise, you know, you don't know that they're getting married, right? He says like the intent to get married is part and parcel of the Kiddushin. And that's why, right, if you don't have him actually doing Amira explicitly saying that he has das to get married, so then the Edim aren't good Edim, because they don't actually have an explicit, you know, expression of his das to get married. So then here, I think you can say the exact same thing, just right in the opposite direction. If there's no explicit, you know, or objective expression of her intent to get married, so then even if she said Tain or Hain, you know, or Shtika, right? It doesn't matter what she says, since he asked the Betoras She'ila and she never responded, Mimela, right? We can't say that there's an explicit expression of her intent to accept, right? And that's goofa part of what the Edim need to testify to, right? The part of the Kiddushin is the explicit, right, you know, proof to their intent. It's almost as if you could say, like, you know, it's not just that you need intent to get married, right? Marriage, you know, in part is the expression of the intent to get married. Right? That's actually kind of cool, because we saw that back in the Kedusha Ketana Sugya, that maybe, right, the intent to commit to get married in some ways could be considered Kedushin. As that Tosos read, that like, oh, being mechayiv yourself to be mekadesh, my gufa, we have a mina that counts as Kedushin. All right, so that's not true. But what is true is that, you know, that intent to get married is actually gufa, part of, you know, part of the bearer of that intent, the explicit manifestation of that intent is part of Kiddushin, or at least part of Edikim. Okay, so the Rashba says, it doesn't matter that we could probably, you know, we can pick out from this conversation, well, he said Arayim Kudashas, and then he gave it to her and she accepted, and she did Peshtika, or she even said Tain, you know, so like, doesn't that kind of imply that she does? He says, yeah, it does imply that she does, maybe. But she never explicitly said it, and he asked, and she never answered. So once he asks and she never answers, so you can't say, oh, that she explicitly, right, agreed. While the Ramban says, oh, well, you know, it depends. If it depends on her language, right, we just weigh the language. And the Ran goes in the opposite direction. He says, well, maybe we'll just focus in on the Maisa Nesina and what they expressed at the Maisa Nesina, or what they implied at the Maisa Nesina, and won't really necessarily care about the rest of the context. Okay? So this is like, even though it's like a very practical sugya here about like, oh, how are we going to evaluate their das? I think it points to like much broader or deeper issues of, well, what are we really looking for when we're trying to evaluate their das, right? Do we just need to know what's going on? And the question is like, how do we know what's going on? Or is the sugya, no, we need it to be explicit, or we need objective proof. Or dafka, we don't need objective proof. We dafka, right, are evaluating the Maisa Nesina, so the Maisa Nesina needs to come with das, but we're really evaluating the Maisa Nesina, in which case our level of knowledge of their das actually goes down. And the Rashba says that we need a higher level of knowledge of their das. We need not just to know their das, we need it to be them to express it. Right? It needs to be expressed. The Ran is basically saying, oh, we don't need it to be expressed. In fact, what we really just need is, you know, is more the Maisa Kiddushin, and part of, you know, the Maisa Kiddushin has to be done you know, bekavana, and it has to be done properly, and they need to do it. But if they do it, and b'shas kiddushin, she basically, you know, there's shtika keoda, or there's harayam kudashasli, and she accepts it, so she accepts the ma'aseh kiddushin, that's really all we're looking for. Okay, now let's say he started it. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if he started it, right, he said, imetein lach titkadshili, va'amr lo blashon tzchok hein, v'kibla mimenu, hevi safek kiddushin. Okay, if she says hein, or even as hein, right, he says, oh, if I, you know, I'm going to give you, if I give you a date, will you marry me? And she says, yeah, sure. Right? And then he gives her a date. So he says, Safek Kiddushin. Right? So this is interesting. Right? On the one hand, he started it. On the other hand, it's a question. On the third hand, right, it's, you know, there's sarcasm involved. On the fourth hand, then, you know, like, she did say yes. Let's get to eight somehow, right? It's sort of like, okay, maybe, right? So I think, getting back to our Ran, because I think the Ran, again, says the same sort of thing, which is, right, I amrle ihu me kara, I ahivna mikad shali, v'amra have, inami have mihava, right, ihu kamra mkudashas, right? If he frames it as kiddushin, right, he framed the conversation and that he wants to marry her and she accepts it. So yeah, right? We'll go achar the mais in Asina, and that should be a problem. But the Rajba says, once he asks Balashon She'ila, once he makes it a question, it doesn't matter that he started. Right? We saw, and this I think is also connected to that Chalkas Mahokek, right? Which of those two issues is the main one or not, or either one's good enough. Right? Do we need, if she, here, she didn't frame it. On the other hand, he asked it as a question. So the Rajba says, well, right, I don't care that he framed it, and he's the one in control of the conversation, he's made it a conversation about Kiddushin, because at the end of the day, if he asks a question and she never explicitly says she wants to marry him, she's never made explicit that she wants to marry him, and even if she does mean to marry him, right, there's no Kiddushin, because it's like getting married without Eidim, right? Just because you intend to get married someone doesn't make you married unless you actually, right, say harayam mikudashasli. It's clear that you're marrying, and there are eidim to that effect. And the eidim can't testify to your das because you never explicitly made your das explicit. So for the Rajba, it doesn't change anything, right? For the Ran, it says, oh, well, once he's the one who's framing the conversation, it's a conversation about kiddushin. So we should assume that it is kiddushin, right? Just two different approaches, where the Rajba really thinks you need a very explicit manifestation and expression of the intent, and anything shy of that, anything that undermines that, it doesn't even make it a safek kiddushin, right? It's not kiddushin at all, because at the end of the day, no one ever said that they intend to get married. There's no das for kiddushin. Well, let's say the Ran thinks that once you do the ma'aseh kiddushin, right, in the context of kiddushin, you know, it's ma'aseh kiddushin, done as a ma'aseh kiddushin, so then, right, you would need to prove otherwise in order to undermine that. Okay? So if he proposes, the Rama makes it a suffix, if he says, well, you know, you don't really know what their das is, right? Which I think is very, very reasonable. And yeah, right, here's the, by the way, the Beis Yosef himself says, Volinire, he says, you know, it's very hard to make these judgment calls, right? If it's just judgment calls, it's very hard. And I think it's very legitimate, right? If we're trying to mind read, it's very difficult to say, oh, well, this clearly shows this or, you know, that or the other thing, right? And I think that's what the Rama is paskening. Right? It's just a suffix. We don't know 100% what's going on in their head. So it's suffix kiddushin, right? But the Ran is saying, well, he did ma'aseh kiddushin. And the Rajba was saying, no one ever explicitly expressed, right, an ironclad intent to get married. And therefore, once it's not explicit, it's nothing. It's not even a suffix. And that's what's very, very geschmack about the Rajba, is that he just says, like, once we're not sure about what's going on in their heads, you know, that usually means that there's no kiddushin at all. If they said it, if it was made explicit, maybe they were joking, right? Which we'll get to, I guess we're going to get to next year. So then, you know, then you have more of an issue, right? Because they said it, but maybe they were joking. But there's an explicit expression of intent. But anytime there's no explicit expression of intent, says the Rashba, there's just nothing. It's not even a suffix. So even if he says, oh, if I give this to you, you know, if I give you a cup of wine, will you marry me? And she says, you know, she says, yeah, sure, right? So the Rashba says, that's not a suffix kiddushin. It's vaday not kiddushin. Because once you never made it clear, so there's just no explicit expression of intent to marry. Okay? So I think that's just very, very interesting how, like, on the one hand, you could sort of take this whole issue as one of, like, oh, we just, you know, how much can we really mind read? But I think what we're seeing also is that, you know, that's part of it. I think that's the direction that the Rama is going, the Beis Yosef is going, that, like, oh, it's just a question of, like, trying to really figure out what's going on in people's heads. And therefore, they end up with a lot of suffixes. But the Rashba and the Rashba saying you need it to be explicit, otherwise it's nothing. And the Ran saying, well, if you did it, you did it. So you need to prove to me that they didn't mean it before you can get there, right? Just the Ran works a lot more along the lines of what we were seeing in the engagement ring sigya in terms of like the problem side of things, which is like once you did it, right, the actions just speak louder than words. And the Rashba is saying, you know, you need explicit intent, unless the context is just so clear, you know, that counts as being explicit. Okay, so then we're gonna stop here. And next thing we're gonna talk about the flip case, the opposite case, which is let's say the actions, right, make it clear. Here the actions basically said that she's accepting the kiddushin, right? But her words left us in the dark, left us, you know, trying to not so convinced, right? What if we did the opposite? Let's say the actions implied no or yes, right? Let's say, and the words said, oh, yes, but, you know, she wants to get married, but the actions said no, right? Something like that, okay? Let's say there's some sort of stira between their actions and what they say. Okay, shukrach.